Well, hey, everyone. Happy Easter. Happy Ramadan. Happy Passover. Happy week before Record Store Day. And welcome to episode 335 of The Vinyl Guide, the podcast for record collectors and music nerds. And guess what, everyone? I finally got COVID, and it really sucks. And I don't know who amongst you have had it before, but man, it feels like I've been hit by a Mack truck. Please forgive my voice on these upfront announcements today, but I'm pretty drained and kind of just hanging on there. So as soon as I upload this episode, I'm probably going back to bed. But look, enough about me. Let's talk about today's episode. Today's episode is very important and very timely. It features jazz detective Zev Feldman, a guy who hunts down all these brilliant unissued jazz recordings and then puts them out as these killer vinyl and CD packages. And you may be saying, yeah, Nate, wasn't he just on the show? And to which you are absolutely correct. However, at the end of that interview, episode 322, Zev hinted at some releases for Record Store Day, which is April 23rd. He couldn't share then, but today he can. And we go through all those releases, and I've had the pleasure of hearing several of them, and they are absolutely gorgeous and have great stories behind each and every one of them. The releases that Zev is going to discuss today are Mingus, the lost album at Ronnie Scott's, two full Bill Evans concerts from Buenos Aires, Chet Baker live in Paris, and a 5-LP Albert Eiler in France set from 1970. And I'm telling you, these are important records. They are packaged beautifully with booklets, liner notes, pictures, lots of info and accompanying materials. And the art is so well preserved and respected. And they're sure to go quick on Record Store Day. So don't be left out. These releases that Zev gets involved in are always bestsellers, and my strong advice is to grab one or a couple of these titles if you can. Enjoy the music, enjoy the material, enjoy the package, enjoy the story, the pictures, the art that each of these titles will bring you for years to come. Now, I know my voice is about to give out, but I absolutely want to be clear on something here. The work Zev and the Resonance and Elemental and even Record Store Day teams are doing is nothing short of masterful, and it's sorely needed. I mean, they're saving these lost performances from neglect and obscurity, rescuing the master tapes, carefully preserving them, transferring the recordings, putting them in context with pictures and stories and an appropriate narrative, and then making them available to everyone. Or at least available for a few thousand folks lucky enough to snap them up on Record Store Day. So please sit back and enjoy Zev and I talking about the lost jazz masterpieces that will be available on Record Store Day, April 23rd. And also, I want to share that we have an extended version of this interview up at patreon.com/vinylguide. Head up there now, enjoy the extended version of this interview with Zev and tons of other interviews as well. patreon.com/vinylguide, and thank you in advance. And real quick, I want to thank our sponsors, Groovewasher and AudiophileUSA.com. Groovewasher, of course, is the greatest record cleaner available. And if you haven't tried it, ask for the Groovewasher by name at your local record shop. And to our friends at AudiophileUSA.com, the best used records you could find today. Head up there now, search, dig, fill up your cart with amazing records at AudiophileUSA.com. All right, without further ado, let's check in with Mr. Zev Feldman on his Record Store 2022 releases. All right, ladies and gentlemen, back on the show. Fresh from episode 322 just a few months ago, Zev Feldman, the jazz detective, the bebop gumshoe. How are you, Zev?
I'm doing great, Nate. It's so good to be back with you again. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure entirely. Look, I know we only just talked to you a few months ago, maybe, and you alluded to a collection of upcoming releases for Record Store Day, and I've been very eager to chat about them. I've seen some of the information starting to come out online, so look, I'd love to focus our conversation on some of these really interesting titles you have coming out. Where do we start?
Wow. Well, maybe we should start with the great pianist Bill Evans. And we have two releases that I am very proud about that I am putting out with the team of us on the Resonance Records label of recordings that Bill Evans made on a voyage down to Buenos Aires in Argentina in 1973 with bassist Eddie Gomez and Marty Morell. Mm-hmm. And again, in 1979, he returned, this time with bassist Mark Johnson and Joe LaBarbera. And I think that these are, first of all, it's Bill Evans at his very best, but these are really important recordings to talk about because I think that we've talked about righting the wrongs of the past in terms of taking a bootleg, turning water into wine, if you will, and taking sometimes a recording that maybe a limited collector's market had before and able to do something on a grand scale. And that's what we've done with these two albums. One that's called Morning Glory from this 1973 concert at the Teatro Grand Rex, which was, I believe, a movie theater, but also doubled as a concert auditorium. And then in 1979 at the Teatro General San Martin in Buenos Aires. But this is the very first time that these recordings are seeing ushered in as an official release with all the musicians being paid, the family of Bill Evans. And this is like, I believe, production number 8 and 9, if I'm not mistaken, of projects on the Resonance label. And, you know, it's once again, we get to work with the families. We're working with the Bill Evans estate, who's been incredibly supportive of these projects.
Now, these recordings, these Bill Evans releases, is the latest in a line of Bill Evans releases that you've done. Yes. And you've had some, I don't know, how many so far with the Bill Evans?
I want to say, well, we've had about 7 other productions. I have to count back, but there's Live at Top of the Gate. Then we had Some Other Time, which was the Lost Studio album. We had Evans in England. And I've worked on a couple of others for Elemental Music as well. Mm-hmm. But there's been this longstanding now partnership that we've continued with the family. And, you know, I have to say, when you do these productions, you need the support of the artist families, or you have no productions. They are turnkey for everything that we do. And Evan and the estate of Bill Evans has been incredibly supportive, allowing us to do this work.
Mm. Now, with all these newly revisited recordings and even discovery of lost recordings, to me, that would seem very atypical. Or are other artists in the same position as Bill is, and you've just had a streak of being able to release his works? How would you compare the work and the lost recordings of Bill Evans to maybe some other artists?
Well, you know, I think Bill Evans played a lot of concerts and he toured around the world and his music has been documented. Our sales and marketing manager at Resonance Records, Anton DeSantis, said to me one day, you know, he's kind of like the Grateful Dead of jazz in terms of a lot of his repertoire. But he's true. You know, what I think we mean to say by that is that, you know, first of all, Bill Evans played so many concerts, and every night after night, he reached from within himself to continue to raise the bar, to inspire, to do something new. And there's this legacy. And sometimes when that happens, there are recordings that are out there in the world. Now, these recordings came to us because of an Argentinian music journalist by the name of Roque DiPietro, who in 2018 contacted me. He was working with the family of the engineer, Carlos Molero, who had originally recorded these concerts and actually had the tape reels in his possession. So that allowed us to really go back and really roll out the red carpet, give it the Rolls Royce treatment, to really make it something new, make the sound better, make the package. But, you know, when you talk about artists, there are certainly recordings that are out there. Bill Evans, because of the years that he toured over and over, there is a great deal of his work out there. And it's all very important. You know, Bill Evans touches so many of us. He has such an amazing legion, so many legions of fans and generations after his that have continued to be turned on be inspired by him. And I really hope that that's going to continue. At Resonance, I've said this before, but he is in the bedrock and fabric of our company. We've put out more Bill Evans releases than any other artist. And my co-president and the founder of Resonance, George Klaben, and I are just completely enthralled, awe-inspired by what Mr. Evans accomplished. He had fans all throughout the world. To the best of my knowledge, these were the only 2 years and performances and tours that he did of this country. And you can just hear it in the audience applause and response, how welcomed he was there.
What was it originally recorded for a radio broadcast, or what was the intent of the recording?
You know, I really am not fully clear of the details if what this was intended for, but the recording was made by this gentleman named Carlos Molero, who also recorded other concerts of the day as well. But he had these tapes. They sounded great. It allowed us to really even booster and improve the fidelity. Also something remarkable as well, that there are photographs from Tito Villalba, which grace the packages, both packages, pictures are taken at these shows. We've gathered tickets and concert programs. You can see the stage. You can kind of visualize what was happening as if you were there. And that's something very true with a lot of the releases that I like to be working on. I want to transport people to another dimension, to another place back in time. I want people to get the feels. I want them to be able to read and listen and really kind of understand. It is investigative music journalism that I think that we're doing that comes along with so many of these releases.
Oh, they're amazing packages. And again, Zev, whenever I see your name on a package, it's always, I know I'm in for a treat, because there's more than the music. I mean, the music is so central and so important, but then there's the booklets, the stories, the pictures. You really go those extra yards, which, you know, again, it doesn't surprise me that whenever there's a package that comes out, one of these jazz packages, especially Bill Evans, they sell out very quickly, and then, you know, they're like $200 or $300 on the secondary market. So I'm encouraging people on record store day, you're going to walk into your record store, you see these two Bill Evans records, grab them, along with, what's the next one they should grab? Where do you want to go? Mingus? You want to talk Mingus?
Sure. Let's go on a Resonance train for right now. Absolutely.
That's the one that I was listening to. I've actually listened to a couple times now. Lost album at Ronnie Scott's, 1972. It's a 3-LP set. The Bill Evans ones are 2 each. Good God, Zev, you got like 15 records that are coming out.
I want to say this is a really special time for us. First of all, those two Bill Evans records, like Mingus at Ronnie Scott's, were also mastered by vinyl by the legendary engineer Bernie Grundman, who prepared those for LP, and they were all produced, pressed at RTI. But I want to say something about Record Store Day. They have given birth, allowed for so many projects over the years to happen. There is such a fine line we walk when you have to look at the financials and how complicated it is to put one of these projects into the marketplace. Also, because of the generosity of my co-president and founder of Resonance, George Klaben. But because of Record Store Day allowing these titles to be accepted, we're able to put them into a program which allows them, it's the vehicle of bringing them to the public, and it makes the numbers work. If anyone's had to do a financial analysis before, it's very cumbersome, but it's extremely risk-taking. And because of their generosity of accepting these titles, they have made it possible. And I really especially want to thank Michael Kurtz and Carrie Politon at Record Store Day, and Chris Brown, and a lot of other people throughout the world on this committee whose generosity has continued to really support this art form. We couldn't do it without them. And I want to thank all the fans out there who are very patient enough. Just know that without Record Store Day, I'm not so confident we could do these projects. In fact, I've done releases outside of Record Store Day for vinyl, and it can be very difficult, but they've given birth and supported these projects, and they are our partners in this initiative, and I can't not thank them enough. But shall we talk about Charles Mingus? Should we talk a little bit about this Lost album, I mean, Nate, I've had the good fortune of working on a lot of projects over the years for Resonance, and I like to tell people that we need to play it long sometimes. And this project is perhaps the longest project we have been, I don't like to use the word chasing, but playing it long, committed to, trying to find a way for it to come out. It's literally a production that we first started speaking with Sue Mingus about back in 2011. And I mean, 11 years later, here we are. Thank you, George Klabin, for staying the course on this. You know, for a long time, George and I, we've had a wish list of certain artists over the years. Wouldn't it be great if we found some Eric Dolphy that never been out before? Wouldn't it be great if, you know, there are a lot of different artists. And Charles Mingus was someone at the top of that list that inspires us. This year, it's really important. It's very monumental because April 22nd will mark the centenary of Charles Mingus's birth, 100 years of Charles Mingus. And this album celebrates him. It's an album we first were made aware of around 2011. We started talking about it with Sue and the good folks at Jazz Workshop Inc. But anyways, these are recordings. These were professionally recorded tapes that were originally intended to be the next release of Charles Mingus, and they never came out. And they sat in Sue Mingus's possession for over 50 years. And thanks to the good folks at Jazz Workshop Inc., they put their trust and faith in Resonance Records and allowed us to present this music for the very first time. This was a very under-documented group that was around for a brief period with trumpeter John Faddis, who was literally 19 years old at the time, the legendary alto saxophonist Charles McPherson, who played with Mingus for 12 years, longer than any other musician, the late great tenor saxophonist Bobby Jones, pianist John Foster, and man, on drums, just a tour de force, not just playing drums, but a musical saw. This man was something else. I'm talking about the great, late, great Roy Brooks. Maybe you remember doing the thing at the Village Gate with Horace Silver. That guy, that drummer, he brought a lot of oomph to this project. And it's a three LP set. It was recorded on August 14th and 15th, 1972. And we have gathered a who's who of voices for this package. We had a great opportunity of having Brian Priestley, the legendary British author and jazz journalist, who was at the concerts, write liner notes. And we even were able to include audio excerpts that we had from his interviews that he conducted at the time backstage in the dressing room with Charles McPherson and Charles Mingus. Mingus was not just a bassist, he was a pianist, he was a composer, he was a poet, he was a painter, he was an activist. He really embodied all of these incredible creative elements to his art. And there is a reason why we are celebrating his 100th anniversary of his birthday. And we've done a lot of great projects, but this is an extraordinary one. Again, we had the great pleasure of working with the legendary LP mastering engineer, Bernie Grundman, who mastered it for vinyl. We pressed this at RTI, and it's a trifold three LP set. It's got a beautiful, lavish package, including photographs that many people have never seen before. I wanted to build the feels. I wanted people to get excited. If we're going to do something for Charles Mingus, I wanted to go all in. And I want to thank George. And I just hope that Mr. Mingus would be very proud by what we did. We really wanted to do his legacy right. And that's a lot of responsibility. And I couldn't be more proud about this project.
And it is absolutely gorgeous. I mean, visually, sonically, all the way throughout. I believe in this album, you mentioned it was an album that was recorded, intended to be released.
Yes.
There were even elements that he recorded in those sessions meant to replace different parts of the music that he didn't feel quite satisfied with. I think there was an ending of a couple of tunes that he wanted to redo, so he redid them. And then you guys respected that, and that's the his vision is the version that you have here on the album.
Let's talk about that, Nate. I'm really glad you brought that up. There were a couple of quote-unquote inserts. You know, when the concert was taking place, Mingus was a producer himself. He knew if something was happening or not happening the right way, and he wasn't going to call it in. That wasn't indicative of who he was. So on the bandstand, a couple of parts, they basically back up and they start playing again to create these inserts. Now, I have to tell you, back in 1972, I mean, it would have been so difficult to try to make those edits work. But thankfully, in the day and age that we're in right now, we were able to, and that was able to happen. My co-producer on this production, David Weiss, who was my audio consultant, many people know him from The Cookers. He's the trumpet player in the band. He's a composer in his own right. He also worked with me on Lee Morgan Live at the Lighthouse and Art Blakey, First Flight to Tokyo. He's got ears and he knows his way around the studio. And he was a confidant that led our team to be able to make those edits happen. They're seamless. You're going to listen to this and you're not even going to know where that happened. And you know what? Charles Mingus wouldn't want you to know that. But we were able to carry through that vision to maintain what Charles Mingus was striving for at the time of that recording. But this was supposed to be an official release to come out in the early 1970s. It never happened. And these recordings also, I have to say, were done with the greatest of intent in terms of capturing great fidelity in audio. They were done with a mobile recording truck unit. They were recorded to multi-track tape, 8-track audio, and it provided stellar results. I mean, that is how this record sounds so good, Nate. I mean, we were able to have incredible sources to work with. It's not always the case. Sometimes it just doesn't work that way out, and there has to be extra finessing. But this project was meant to be, and I just feel like it came together, and it's amazing to be a part of this.
And for you to be able to put out this project exactly 100 years and one day from his birth, that must be, all the karmic angels aligning for that.
We're proud, very, very proud at Resonance, for sure.
All right, so let's move to some of the other releases you've got here. You've got a 5-LP box set, Albert Eiler Revelations.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
We'll be back after these messages.
Hey everyone, let me tell you about AudiophileUSA.com. AudiophileUSA.com is a fantastic place to buy used records online. AudiophileUSA.com has a heap of inventory, like tens of thousands of records you could search through online, and they are all excellent and near mint quality. These are your final upgrades, beautiful records that you can enjoy for years to come. AudiophileUSA.com is a family-owned and operated business, and they work hard to find the absolute cleanest records in the world and make them available to you. Head up there now, AudiophileUSA.com, search and dig through their selection and find the deals. Get a box of love on its way to you now from AudiophileUSA.com. Now, I know that you know that the Groove Washer is the best record cleaner in the world, but did you know that Groove Washer now makes archival quality record sleeves too? Yep. The world's best record cleaner is now making some fantastic sleeves and record accessories for a limited time introductory offer. The Groove Washer Groove Guard record sleeves are absolutely fantastic, so head up there now and try them for yourself. Go to groovewasher.com and use discount code FINALGUIDE10. That's the Groove Washer record cleaners, record sleeves, and other protection for your record collection. That's groovewasher.com.
Now we return to the program, already in progress.
No limits. You've got a 5-LP box set, Albert Eiler Revelations.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
The Albert Eiler Revelations box set's very important for me. In many ways, it also stands for, you know, we talked about, like with Mingus, 11 years. Well, this was another project that I felt that I had literally carried on my back for a very long time. I think we've been working with the folks at INA, I-N-A, which represents the radio and television archives for the French government. And it's a very important entity who has been incredibly supportive and over the years has built such a level of trust with us with a lot of the research that I do personally. And they have allowed me over the years to do a lot of research into their archives, finding things. Now, over the years, some of the recordings that we put out include Larry Young in Paris, Wes Montgomery live in Paris, which was a legitimate release and officially of a former bootleg, and some other projects too. But this Albert Eiler Revelations box set is very personal for me because I think it was about 7 years that I had known about these recordings and I had pitched numerous record labels talking to them. This is really important. And first of all, let's talk about, you know, what this is. These were concerts that that were done in July of 1970, July 25th and July 27th, 1970. Now, parts of these recordings have been available over the years as bootleg, and also there was part of it as an official release as well. But as far as I'm aware, for the very first time, I know this for a fact, we had a chance to go back and present the music for the first time from the legendary ORTF archives, which were recorded in glorious stereo. They had recorded both concerts start to finish, and what had previously been available were bits and pieces. And this presentation presents it all, the way that it happened on both of these days. And it includes over 2 hours of never before released material. To me, this is like the Dead Sea Scrolls of jazz. This is like very important music. Albert Eiler is somebody to me whose legacy has gotten even more important as the decades have gone on. He was an incredible and original artist. He was an inspiring musician who he just gave everything that he had when he expressed himself with his instrument. And I find him so moving. And as the years have gone on, I have become just deeply affected by this man's music. And in the summer of 2021, I had joined forces with Jeff Lederer, the great saxophonist and composer. And Jeff really helped me read the tea leaves. You know, you can find a tape in a vault anytime, Nate, but that doesn't mean that it should be released. You really have to evaluate. Are we adding and contributing to an artist's legacy by something coming out? Or has the previous versions been okay? Well, it wasn't okay with me that a lot of this music had been released unofficially over the years. But we were able to do this officially with the family, with the daughter of Albert Eiler, Desiree Eiler Fellows, who supported our efforts and got behind this initiative. And it was a chance of doing something really great. I just felt like a personal connection with this project. And, you know, when people shoot me down on production sometimes, it just gives me more energy, more determination, more motivation to finding a way of making it happen. And my good friends at Elemental Music, Jordi Soleil and Carlos Augustin, we co-founded that label, Elemental, in 2013. Some folks out there may recall the New York Concerts release from Jimmy Giuffre, Xanadu Records, and a whole bunch of other wonderful projects that have come out. But over the years, Elemental has been working with the good folks at INA as well, at INA. So I don't know why it occurred to me, wait a second. They're working on Dexter Gordon. They've done some other projects. And I went to them and I got on my hands and knees and I begged. I said, we have an opportunity of doing something very, very important here. I want to say something again. Doing these productions is not for the faint of heart. It involves mortgaging a house. It involves coming up with such an amount of money that can make or sink a company. And, you know, this wasn't a production that the company was going to get rich on, but it was something that was very important for the sake of the art, for the sake of Albert Eiler, and for my sanity. Because if I would have gotten shot down one more time, I wouldn't have quit. But they were receptive when I came to them with this idea. And I said, listen, you've worked with Ina. We could make a go at this. Will you consider this, please? I'll work with you. We can make a budget work. Let's see it come out. And thanks again to Record Store Day, because we knew we could do something in the limited edition model without getting too crazy, thinking about the long tail. And hey, you make the right amount. It's like that whole Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come. For quite a period, we were on this pathway to try to track down as many important voices as we can to interview them. Sonny Rollins, Archie Shepp, David Murray, Carlos Santana, Joe Lovano, Carla Blade, John Zorn, Bill Laswell, Reggie Workman, James Brandon Lewis, Patty Waters, Annette Peacock, Mark Ribot, Thurston Moore, and of course, these wonderful interviews. And this is a big, big package. It's a trifold and a gatefold package with incredible imagery, photographs that have never been published before. It's got the feels. You need to put on your seatbelt when you put on this record and when you start listening through. I mean, it's something that this is what dreams are made of. And I get really emotional when I talk about this, because my brothers at Elemental Music took me out of my misery when they said, we'll do it, Zeb. We'll make this happen. And we built this for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank Kevin Gray at Coherent Audio, the guy that does all the tone poets on Blue Note. He did our LP mastering on this project too. And Sheldon, who prepared, we worked with on the sound as well. And Zach Shelby Sisko. It was an unbelievable team affair, and I'm just eternally grateful for everybody who came together to do this release. It matters. Albert Eiler matters. He's important. His legacy matters, and I hope that we're going to keep celebrating him. But, man, I 2 hours of unissued recordings, start to finish, you hear it. This is the more Dead Sea Scrolls. This is the scripture right here, you know?
So with the Revelations box set, what do you think this adds to the Albert Eiler story?
I think it allows us to go back and look at Albert Eiler's timeline, his history, and really discuss who he was and the music he was creating. I also think that now for the first time we unearth these 2 hours of unissued material, and for the very first time can reconstruct how the music happened start to finish. You can listen to it that way. And I think that has a very special, profound meaning. You want to know what it was like to go to an Albert Eiler concert in 1970? Well, we're going to take you there.
That's interesting, because I think our conversation about the Lee Morgan Lighthouse set, I think you inspired me to you could sit down and say, I'm going to listen to Friday night's late set. Or, like a concert. So you could do the same with this Albert Eiler box set. You could pick the set and enjoy it kind of as a whole.
That was we had the opportunity to do it. That would be the only way to do it. But yeah, you can do that for the very first time. You couldn't do that before. Now you can relive what it was like being there.
100%. The final package to talk about is the one that I'm most excited hearing personally. Haven't heard it yet. Chet Baker Trio Live in Paris. Three sure. LP box set. This is in the last few years of his life. What's the story of this recording?
Well, the story of these recordings, I want to say that, Chet Baker is an artist and inspires a lot of people. There are different phases of Chet Baker's career. I'm personally a big fan of all of them, and I'm also very particularly drawn to these later years recordings that Chet was making. You know, he played with different instrumentation over the span of his career. And these recordings that were made in June of 1983 and also February of 1984 have a really wonderful different instrumentation and a lot of people may not be familiar with. On June 17th, 1983, Chet played with the late pianist Michel Grolier and bassist Dominique Lemerle at the Esplanade de la Défense in Paris. And these was a concert was recorded for Radio France in stereo. And we also have these recordings that were done in February 7th of 84 at La Petite Auterne in Paris, again with the late pianist Michel Grolier, but that time Ricardo Delfra. You know, Chet was remarkable, I think. He had incredible intonation, instincts. He could play exceptionally well. And he had these incredible nights of brilliance up to the very end of his life. And these recordings capture those performances that are just great nights. And this music has never been available in any form before. They're not bootlegs. It was a chance for us. This is the very first production that I'm doing with the estate of Chet Baker, which I'm very proud about. Chet's someone that I've been listening to for a very long time. I mean, a lot of us have. But if you've also, maybe you've never listened to Chet Baker in his later period. I love Let's Get Lost from Bruce Weber, and I love a lot of these albums that were done for Criss Cross. Again, he's playing with these trio, this instrumentation. It's different. He sings with vocals, and he also has a chance to stretch out in a different landscape musically, which really lends itself for his brilliance. He did not need a drummer. And as these recordings really demonstrate, he is just, they're flying. But, you know, we just had all this great work. I want to thank Christiane Lemaire again for her help, for allowing this to happen. These were produced, I mean, they were mastered for vinyl by Kevin Gray at Coherent Audio. This is a wonderful trifold release that our great design team, again, with John Sellards and Burton Yount, were able to really put something together very striking. I believe in an artwork. I believe in it being the front of the house when you go in. And when you see a production from myself, whether it's on Resonance or Elemental or Reel to Reel or Blue Note or any of these others, I played a part in. I got to tell you, this is an incredible presentation of Chet Baker, music that a lot of people have never heard before. And I'm very proud about this music. These are records that I will listen to on repeat all afternoon because they are just, there's just such a feeling that I get when I listen to them that come over me, a vibe, if you will. And it's just beautiful music. Chet Baker matters. He's really important. You know, he's been gone now for several decades and he's left a lasting legacy. And these are official recordings that we did in partnership with the estate of Chet Baker and also with the musicians on the recording. I'm enormously proud. I want to say that we had the good fortune of having Ashley Kahn write the main liner notes for these releases and also had the opportunity of having interviews with the living sidemen, Dominique Lemerle, and also Ricardo Delfra. We wanted to really kind of tell the story again, wanted to gather great music, great packaging and presentation, great sound. But this is the music that you listen to and you're like, you know what? Chet Baker really was something. These releases often serve as reminders to go back to celebrate the legacies of these individuals. I think that this later period of Chet is so important. You got to go back and listen to those records. It's not just about the brilliance that he did for Pacific Jazz and Riverside. He was a guy who had these different acts in his career. He was a guy who reinvented himself. He was just the epitome of cool. He was the epitome of a great musician. And he's just so awe-inspiring to me. I'm at a loss for words to describe his genius, but I think these records are going to make people happy. And that makes me happy because this music speaks for itself. It doesn't need me on here to talk about its brilliance, but it's a combination of instrumental and tracks with vocals, and it's a whole lot of Chet Baker. And it's two wonderful concerts, and it's three LPs with amazing sound that was broadcast quality. I mean, and they're not out there. There's no bootlegs of these. This is where you got to start. So,
and in his later years, he didn't play live a great deal. And so the fact that you have these, it sounds like professionally recorded concerts of his that have been remastered by Kevin Gray and are being put out with the packaging and everything like that, like you described, it's really just this wonderful gift that nobody expected, but everyone appreciates.
Well, I appreciate it too. I'm honored that I got invited to be a part of this project. I want to thank Jordy and Carlos at Elemental for allowing me to come along and for trusting my level of curation. I think we're all in the same boat. I'm just really proud. I feel very honored and fortunate that I get a chance to do something. You know, this is what I do for my living. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm just so honored and proud. I don't want it to stop. I want to keep paying it forward. And there are other artists that we're going to be doing that with, and whether it's Elemental or Resonance or Blue Note. But I cannot thank all of your listeners and all the people that support Record Store Day, the ones that line up and you got to get the records. And hey, you're giving life to these projects and giving birth to them. And because of Record Store Day, they're allowed to come out into the world. Mm-hmm. It would be a lot difficult, really a lot harder to do that otherwise. So I'm just very proud.
With the very well-known supply chain issues around the world and the balance of these beautiful packages that you have, all this vinyl that we all know has been back ordered and, you know, year-long waits for pressing plants, how difficult was it bringing these, it's five packages, 15 records across them all, plus booklets, plus packaging, everything. How difficult was that to pull this all together for this release in April?
Nate, it was really difficult, to put it mildly. We're in this day and age right now where we're really, so many record labels are being faced with a year lead time of getting records pressed because of the demand in the marketplace right now. And what that means is a whole year ahead of time, you have to have the audio mastered and delivered. You have to have the creative elements often designed, and then you get your place in the queue. It's really hard. You know, I'll tell you a little secret. The Bill Evans and the Mingus titles on Resonance, we had originally had intended on releasing those in November of 2021. And couldn't make it. You know, we got, like a lot of labels, it's common, we got bumped. You know, and actually with Mingus, I'm really glad the way that it worked out anyways because of the centenary. But it's really challenging for labels because it's oftentimes an outlay of expenses, of checks that need to be written to a whole variety of people who have done the work. And you can't even get your records pressed sometimes for a whole year if you're lucky. Some plants, it's even, I hear, 18 months. But, you know, you have to do all this work ahead of time. Plus, for a record label, it can be 120 days after it sells before a label sometimes even gets paid. So it's trying. And, you know, oftentimes, as is the case with Resonance, Elemental, all these labels I work with, it's for the love of the art. And it's about walking that fine line between art and commerce and how are we going to make it work. And, oh, my gosh, I can't tell you the scramble in many cases. What record pressing plant are we going to use? It is not easy. And it makes planning a real bear. And you do the best that you can. It can be emotionally very disappointing when you find out that you're not going to make a release date. You know, for these releases that we're doing, they center around Record Store Day. So it's all about April and November. And God willing, knock on wood, if you get accepted and they're generous and kind enough to accept you, you know, because that's not a given either. I want to say that again. That is why I say that Record Store Day has been incredibly generous and kind. That's why they make these things happen. But it's not for the faint at heart. You know, it's a roller coaster. There are a lot of ups and downs and a lot of downs along the way, and finding out how are we going to do this. But, you know, it's been working.
So I would imagine you already have next Record Store Day planned.
I have ideas of certain things that I'm working on right now. There is a submission process, and we are working at these labels towards certain productions. So, yeah, I'll let people know that there is even more Bill Evans that is in the pipeline right now for release. But, hey, who's going to press the records? I'm working on these things over a year out right now, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, you got to be working now to meet next April. And by the way, yes, ladies and gentlemen, you can't see Zev, but as soon as I brought that up, there was a twinkle in his eye and a knowingly smirk that came up. Next Record Store Day, I think there's the well is definitely not dry.
We just want to keep people excited. I mean, these are events, man. I mean, it is so incredible that the whole world is a part of this. This is a major event every year. Both of these events, for Black Friday and for Record Store Day. And you know what? I've said it before. I'll say it again. I'm working on elevating the art of record making, pulling out all the stops, making things as great as they can be. What is there that we can do that we're not doing? And really knowing that at the end of the day, it's those people that are waiting in line, those people that are going to their brick and mortar stores to find these projects and are supporting these releases. Without them, it's not possible. But we got to keep doing this, and we're going to keep going. And I'm working on things, and I can't wait to share more soon. I mean, it gives me a reason to get out of bed in the morning, Nate.
You got to be your first customer, right?
Well, you know, it's like I build these things for all of us. We build them for all of us with the labels I work with. But if it's not cutting the mustard with me, it's got
to
be
get excited about it. It has to excite you before anyway. All right. Well, Zev, we are certainly glad you got out of bed this morning and on most mornings as well to bring us these records. Got to remind folks, Record Store Day, April 23rd. There are 5 glorious releases coming out that Zev's fingerprints are all over. We're going to start with the Bill Evans, Morning Glory, and Inner Spirit. 2 record sets. Those are each 2 LP sets. 1 from 73, 1 from 79. Mingus, The Lost Album at Ronnie Scott's, 1972. This is a 3 LP set. And this one, again, is additionally special. It will be released 100 years and 1 day since the big man was born. That's the Mingus Lost Album Live at Ronnie Scott's. Albert Eiler Revelations 5 LP box set. This sounds absolutely amazing. If you've got the Lee Morgan Live at the Lighthouse, I think this is kind of walking in its image there. 5 LPs, 1970, recorded over 2 nights. And then, of course, the Chet Baker Trio Live in Paris from 83 and 84. And there's so many other great releases that Zev's been involved in. Art Blakey, First Flight to Tokyo. Incredible album. That's on Blue Note. Of course, you could look that up and grab one of those. Again, great packaging. And all the essays, the postcards, all the little doodads that come with these records that we're able to enjoy as we listen to the music. Coltrane Seattle. Plenty of Bill Evans stuff out there, and looks like some more in the future. Show up early at your record shop on Record Store Day. Grab these records. Again, these records, especially like the Bill Evans ones, you know, they start the day at about $50, and then by, you know, weeks from then, you know, you have to be shelling out $200-$300 on Discogs. You don't want to do that. Grab them on day one and make sure they're part of your collection. Zev, thank you so much for coming on the show, mate.
Thank you so much for having me, Nate. It's been a pleasure. And thank you to everyone that's out there listening for all your support. Can't do it without you.
All right. There he is, Mr. Zev Feldman, the jazz detective, bringing us 5 new titles on Record Store Day, April 23rd. Mingus, The Lost Album at Ronnie Scott's, Bill Evans, Morning Glory, and Inner Spirit, Chet Baker Trio, Live in Paris, and Albert Eiler, Revelations. That's the one I'm excited about all of them. I've heard several of them. I haven't heard the Albert Eiler yet. That's the one I'm looking most forward to personally. But all of them are going to be great. Grab one on Record Store Day, and you will not be disappointed. That's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Thanks again for tuning in. I know this is generally where I tell you to please share these episodes out on social media and stuff and leave us positive reviews, but I gotta be honest, I'm quite tired right now. I'm about to go back to bed. I think I'll be back next week with a brand new episode. I got a few other interviews lined up. I'll see if I can muster up the energy to do it in the coming days for next week. If not, maybe a little bit of a break, but I'll be back shortly with a brand new episode. So until we talk next time, have a wonderful Record Store Day and get out there and buy some records, people. Cheers.
That's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Send your thoughts to Nate@thevinylguide.com or follow or tag us on Instagram @vinylguide. Until next time, keep spinning.